Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Latin Babbler Show, presented by Scrubbed Up. I am your host, Rafael, a.k.a. the Latin Babbler. I am joined here with my amazing co-host, Ms. Rocky is in the house, and filling in for Daisy and Paula is one of our Todo Wafi content creators and founder of Dunia, Dunia Garcia. Who's ready for the show? Let's get it started, because we are on fire. Levantaré mi bandera, estando mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, whoa. Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira no existen fronteras. No, no, Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento. Lo digo desde la Suiza, centroamericana, rebota en Colombia y en Dominicana y yo. Hi, welcome back to the show. If you have been listening to the show, or at least the last few shows, I've been talking a lot about it, Scrubbed Up, for some time now, and how much I love it. And, you know, they're amazing people. They sponsored all of the content that we have done here for the past month. And if you've seen the shows, you can see it alone. Tonight is cool because we have them here in studio. So I want to bring them in real quick. And so we are going to welcome Ryan and Alicia, the founders of Scrubbed Up. What's up?
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited, and I'm going to share a story, but I want to first get through you guys, because you guys have a really cool background. So, Alicia, you were a registered nurse. You're right now, you're home because you're taking care of the baby and so forth. And then, Ryan, you're a pararescueman. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
For the Air Force. And so I wanted to first thank you both for all the tremendous work that you guys do. And, Ryan, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
So really cool. Now, I want to find out from those professions, how did you guys go from those to creating the concept of Scrubbed Up?
Yeah, so honestly, it was a shower thought. So we knew that there was like the loofahs and washcloths and other things on the market. We always knew that those weren't the cleanest, most hygienic kind of options. And when we tried to look for other solutions on the market, there really just wasn't anything great out there. So it genuinely was a shower thought. I remember coming out of the shower and I was like, hey babe, like, what if we did this, you know? And so we looked it up and we found some other competitors, but they just weren't manufactured like in the highest quality. They didn't work the best. And so we saw an opportunity there to kind of blend all of the pros of those products and try to make our own, so that people can have a really good, clean, hygienic shower.
Yeah, we tested a good handful of all the body scrubs that were out there, and we wanted to try to make the best one and create one that was pretty high quality. And another like important factor for us was being made in America. Mm-hmm. Just all of them except one wasn't, but the lather still wasn't great. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make it multifunctional. So that was another important aspect to us too.
What was the process like for getting the patents? Was that difficult?
So we're still in the process of getting it approved. But as far as actually submitting it, that was actually relatively easy. We worked with a company that we found online, and they did a lot of the legwork for us, which was awesome, because both of us don't have a legal background.
No.
So there was a lot of things that came up that we just didn't even think about, as far as like what exactly are we calling ours and what can someone else replicate and still be a different product and be legal. So that was a whole world that we had no experience in. And so it was super helpful to have some professionals get us along the way.
So what is like the major difference between like the loofah and Scrubbed Up? Because I know I use, until I got my Scrubbed Up, like I was using loofahs. And I know that Dunia and Ms. Rocky, I mean, do you guys use loofah in your place? Like
Ms. Rocky? I used to use loofahs until I was disgusting and all the germs that it kept. So I stopped using them a long time ago.
I just use, this is maybe gross, but here you go. I just like, I knew that too. Like it always disgusted me to know that it would just sit there and I knew what was collected because I know, like, my own, my pet peeve is a clean shower. I have to have a clean shower. Like, I'm trying to get clean in there. So I already knew. I was like, ooh. So I just put soap on my hand, my clean hands, yeah, and rub it all over.
Okay, so you're a soap person. You kind of like do the. Yeah, I'm a soap person. I used to do that with, like, when I had Irish Spring. I kind of switched it now, but when I had Irish Spring, I used to just kind of use the soap. Now for you guys, what's
the, like, actual body wash?
The body wash.
Oh, okay, the body wash. Yeah, I thought you meant like the bar of soap. Yeah,
that's gross too.
I feel like if I use just the body wash by itself, I'm just not going to get it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like I gotta use a ton of body wash to try that.
Yeah, but obviously now we'll get a scrub. Yeah.
So what is the big difference, like, between the loofah and a scrub dub? Because I know there's some very key differences that we want people to know about so that they can turn around and just go check it out.
Yeah, so loofah, they're very cheaply made. And if you can see, they're just like the design of it, it doesn't fully dry out. And so it's like holding on to even yesterday's soap that you use the day before and then the day of.
No, I have to actually throw mine like that in order to get all the water out of it.
Yeah. And even then it still doesn't dry completely just because of the design of, like, the little nooks and crannies in it. And, and so it also can harbor your, like, dead skin cells and then the bacteria and mold. You know, you might even find, like, little bugs in there just because it's so easy for them to just.
That's nasty.
That's horrible. I didn't think about that. That's so gross. Yuck.
For them to just, like, hide into it. It's also not very travel friendly. Like, it's pretty bulky, right?
Yeah.
And you have to change them pretty frequently. They recommend changing them every, like, 3 to 4 weeks. They're pretty rough on the skin. So with skin exfoliation, you don't necessarily want to go super hard on your skin. That's not good. So you want to find something that's a little gentler if you're going to do some skin exfoliation. And so
I can actually attest to that with the story I'm going to tell. Yeah,
exactly. And so with ours, we have a non-toxic antimicrobial injected into the body scrub to protect the body scrub from growing bacteria, mold, and fungi. So that protects the scrub. So that helps. And the material that we're using, it is also recyclable. It's pretty quick drying.
Yeah.
Yes. Big win. That was a big win. That was a really important factor to us.
Turtles.
And it lasts between 5 to 6 months. So that's another, like, good factor, is that you don't have to change
it. Yeah, because you don't have to change the loofah. You have to change quite a bit.
Exactly. Yeah,
because of the fact that it just kind of sits there. Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's fast drying. It's easy to travel with. So we wanted something that you could take with you on all the travel adventures that you might have, but not have to worry about the bacterial growth. Yeah. And you can clean the body scrubber too. So I recommend cleaning it with, like, a clean toothbrush and, like, Dawn dish soap if you want to.
That's what I do. Yeah.
And it's super easy to do, and it just, like, keeps the scrub clean. But again, you don't have to replace it so often.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny because I had a brand deal, and, you know, for people to know, I shave my head most of the time. And so what ends up happening is, it's like, if I let my hair grow too much, I start getting that dry scalp feeling. Mm-hmm. And so you'll notice that on your head. And so I'm doing this brand deal, and I'm using their shaver. And I'm supposed to do, you know, all these different clips. And the one thing I notice is I have that like chafing look on my head. And I'm like, I'm trying to do this. So I was trying to, like, figure out a way. Okay, I got to clean this somehow. And ironic enough, the exfoliating side of the scrub dub is actually what I use. So I'm able to, like, it has a good lather. I was able to actually, like, scrub my head really well. And eventually that brand deal will come out. You'll see it. But my head was, like, super shiny from being able to kind of, like, exfoliate it in the time that I had. You know, I only had, like, 5-10 minutes to do it before the continuous use. So it's, like, it's really good. And I know that people in my house here have used it. Daisy, who's one of our content creators, she got one and she used it, and she's, you know, she's very happy with it. So it's an amazing product. I really like what you guys done. You guys got 30 seconds to tell the audience why they should get a scrub dub.
All right. So a big thing that we believe in is that this is something that you deserve. So to take care of yourself. And so ask yourself that when you're using a washcloth or a loofah, like, are you really treating yourself the best? Mm-hmm. There's something that you could be doing better, the scrubbed up. So with the antimicrobial, dual-sided, both body bristles and the shampoo exfoliator, the shampoo spikes, you're treating yourself and you're taking care of yourself. And that's something everyone deserves.
It's very cool.
Make a difference.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys can, where can they buy it? I know that it's on Amazon. You can literally just look for Scrub Dub on Amazon and you can get on our website. If you go to our website, go ahead, Dunia.
Do you guys, as a mom, I want the best for not only me, but my kids. Like a huge thing that I notice with kids stuff, it's like even those bath toys, they like collect water and they'll get moldy. I don't buy my kids those. So do you guys have like a kid size or is it just the same size? Like, is this cute?
It's small.
I know, but I'm wondering if like there's like cute little like figures for kids, you know?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's some
crazy idea.
That's a
huge. Yeah, yeah. So right now we just have the one size, but we do have some other plans in stores for something like
that. Yay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna have to turn around and get the copyrights for like Disney and stuff like that. Get ourselves, you know, some.
Yes, do it.
That's a really cool idea. So guys, look, follow them. It's scrubdub_official. On Instagram, go to our website. You can click on any of the articles. You'll see their your ability to click on one of the banners there for them to be able to buy the product. And if you guys subscribe to our newsletter, you guys get a chance to win a scrub dub or a pair of scrub dubs for your family. Mm-hmm. So please be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. Just go on the website, do that part. And Ryan and Alicia, I'm really ecstatic that you guys were able to come here. And we look forward for everybody to be now using the scrub dub instead of that nasty loofah.
Yes, we hope you enjoy it. And if you have any questions, don't be scared to reach out.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Or awesome. Email.
All right, Raquel, you have our artist spotlight.
I do. So our artist spotlight of the night is Bel Savi. He is the perfect fusion between a rising pop star times a Latin fierce diva. Based out of the UK, the pop singer debuted her first single this year, getting played multiple times in big radios like BBC, introducing the RTL with a solid artistic identity and strong self-empowerment message. She was called the new pop fierce diva of 2021 by the international press, being premiered on The Hollywood Life, Gay Times, Pop Plus, and many, many more. Here's a video from one of her hits, Queen of the Mind. Queen of Mind.
Strapped in the mirror, feel my heart chained. And with every single breath, I see it fade away. Up in the pieces as I fall apart, light behind my shadow, baby, it's so hard. Talk to myself as a counterpart, saying you still deny it. Living with secrets that I cannot escape, dazed and confused, so I stay away. For a change with some kind of faith, baby, you still deny it. Now I'm getting stronger, thicker than armor. Not losing this fight, yeah, I'll be alright, cause I'm the queen of my mind. Now I'm going harder, and they do remember. It's changing inside will make me deny that I'm the queen of my mind. My way to change. Feeling lost within the days, I'll never be the same. And I'm speaking out my mind, even married to anxiety. Dropping the pieces as I fall apart. Life behind a shadow, baby, it's so hard. Talk to myself as a counterpart, saying you still deny it. Living with secrets that I cannot say. Days and confused, so I stay away. Pray for a change, for some kind of faith. Baby, you still deny it. Now I'm getting stronger. Beacon in armor. Now losing this fight, yeah, I'll be alright, cause I'm the queen of my mind. Now I'm going harder. A name to remember. Changing inside will make me deny that I'm the queen of my mind.
Everyone joining us now live is Bell Salvi. Welcome to the Latin Babble Show. Love the video, but I know you got some cool news. What's coming up?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I was watching my video and thinking, you're going to be so shocked in seeing me blonde because you guys are watching me like,
stop it right now. Gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. Thank you guys. It means so much.
I have a first question. I'm trying to figure it out. How did you end up in the UK?
Yeah.
I know you got a story for that.
Let's talk about that.
Do you want to know like the shortcut of it where you actually won the whole
whatever
story?
Part you want to give us, we will take.
Exactly.
Okay. So I ended up here because of multiple different things, but mainly because I was obsessed with the UK since I was really young. And I said to myself, like, I'm going to live in two places, or is LA or is London, because they are my two like favorite places in the world. And I was supposed to live in LA. I actually been in LA before for a bit because I studied at New York Film Academy. So it was really nice, but it was for a short moment. And then things started leading me to here, to the UK. So as a Latin artist, it would make more sense to go to the US and of course be present in the American and Latin scene. But then out of the blue, I ended up in Berlin, and I lived in Berlin for 1 year and a half, which actually made me have my first contract in the music industry internationally. And that kind of opened up for me to end up here. But I always knew I wanted to end up here, like since I was 11. I was like, oh, I'm going to live in London. And I want to actually develop all my career, which I already knew what I wanted to do, in London. And I want to be like in the UK and stuff. So it was kind of like that. But it was in the middle of the pandemic, which was.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you did what I did. I moved to LA right in smack, like right in the heart of it.
Yeah.
When everything was off.
Yeah, I came for the first time to work in music here in the UK. The first opportunity was in 2019. And that's when the door started opening because of a production house that wanted to work with me. And then they said, well, can you move in? And I was like, yeah, I actually could. And then from that, I was not supposed to do it so like straight away because I signed with this label from Austria that wanted to kind of make me work, make the things work in the UK. And then the lockdown, and I couldn't get back home. So I had to stay. I was just forced and stay in it. And then everything went super well for me in the middle of the lockdown, to be fair. So that's kind of the short story of how it happened.
When was the first time you realized that, like, you were going to go into music?
I was 17. I was in school. That's another interesting story, to be fair.
We're popping out stories.
Everything in my life needs to be so dramatic. Like, nothing is really, like, just okay. Like, so basically, I think this story is really nice because I was just singing back in school. I'm obsessed with Evanescence. And I was singing a song of Emily, like, just in the back of an arts class. And then when I kind of realized, I had a couple of colleagues and my teacher saying, oh, so you are going to be the one that's going to sing in a band. And I was like, what? No, I don't sing. And they were like, yes, you do sing. And I was like, no, I don't. They said, yes, we heard you singing, so you're going to do. So they pushed me through. They put me as the lead singer of this band that was representing the school in this thing, in this contest. And then we actually got second place of the whole thing. And the feeling that I had at the moment on stage, I have never felt before in anything else I was doing in life. Because back then I was a model and I couldn't, nothing fulfilled me like that moment. So then I was like, okay, music it is. That's going to happen.
Very cool. I know that, let's see, it's 2021, named Pop Fierce Diva by the International Press. What is it? Hollywood Life, Gay Times, Pop Dust, many more. When did the industry start realizing, this girl Bell Savvy is something that we want to push, that we want to turn around and listen to? Because, I mean, you're hitting UK charts now all over the map. So at what point did your career kind of just blast off? Not when it first started, because I know there was some remnants, you know, where you were Berlin and so on. When did it finally just kind of like kick off?
Was definitely when I started in the UK. It was in the UK because I used to sign my name differently. It was not Bell Savvy before. So everything that I have as a background back in Brazil, which it isn't super important to me, but is kind of another person. And Bell Savvy actually was born in 2020. And when I signed with the label and we released Queen of My Mind, which was my debut single, that's when everything started happening. And then was 2020, 2021, and then 2022 now. And then hopefully this year is going to be really, really good.
2023 is going to blow off. I mean, it's already starting off, blowing off. So
it's amazing. Yeah. So it was definitely during the pandemic, for sure. That's when it happened.
Very cool.
Yeah, because that voice, that video was everything, girl.
Thank you so much. To the
fullest, honey. So now you were saying that you're, you know, Brasileña, and I'm sure you've traveled a lot, but what has been your favorite Latin country? What's your favorite and why?
I traveled a lot. Mostly in Europe because I used to be a model. So the opportunities, I come from a very simple family. I couldn't really be around being a Latina, you know, like middle class. We don't really have this money to be everywhere when you're back there. So like the opportunities I had to travel was always working as a model. So it was mostly Europe. But back in South America, I will have to put my hands up here and say that I love Brazil. I just love
Brazil. I kind of figured, like, how is she going to say Colombia. Anything else?
I have never been in Colombia yet, unfortunately. I'm really interested in going, but I haven't been. I've been in Uruguay. I've been in Chile. And I've been in Argentina as well. And I love them all. They are insane. Like, everything is so unique and so awesome. But my country is my country. Like, you know, like I've been recently there. And when I was arriving, just like crossing the sky and thinking, in 2 hours, I'm going to be like down. I was just looking at it and crying. So it's like, oh, I just,
now, mind you, Raquel's going to say Colombia because she wants everybody to say Colombia. She's just a tad biased.
However, I love that pan de queso that you guys do. That's like the bomb. Oh. Okay.
Pão de queijo, I think, is like one of the best things someone has ever invented in life.
Yes.
So I'm just going to... Sorry.
Go ahead, Dunia. No, go ahead, girl.
No, first of all, like, I watched your music yesterday because I knew that you were coming on. And I have a little girl and she was like... Because she loves dancing. And
oh, that's so cute.
Like, and this morning on her way to school, she's like, can you put on the song from last night? So you already have fans. So I
so cute. I love kids. I love kids.
Yeah, it's inspiring. So I know that you did modeling before. How has that affected, do you think, like just you and music now?
I think in every single possible way, to be fair. If I wasn't a model before, and if I haven't gone through everything that I've been through as a model, because I had an episode of body shaming, I had anorexia and loads of other stuff, and it all came as a result, as an outcome of the pressure that the modeling industry back then had on teenagers, because I was a teenager. I was 16, 15, 17, 18, that's a teenager. So that all built up the inner strength that I have nowadays, the resilience that I have nowadays, as not only as Belsavi, but the person I am in my intimate life, and taught me about self-love and self-empowerment and body positivity. These are the key things that I talk about in my songs. And these are literally the things that I want to put through to help others, to connect with others, to create a bit of consciousness to people that would like to have a little bit more of self-love and just accept themselves the way they are and just, you know, just love yourself. And if I haven't been through these things that were so toxic, I wouldn't have this inner power that I have nowadays to actually input in my songs, which is my main thing. Like don't get me wrong. Like I love doing like party songs, but I really get like goosebumps on stage and deliver all of my heart on the ones that I know I'm connecting to people and I'm sharing everything I can to, you know, to have someone saying, oh, wait, she been through that as well. That's what I want. I want to be connecting to others out there and being a little bit of an example of something that happened and say, hello, we can do this. You know what I mean? Like, if I did it, you can as well. Yeah, so.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, you have a great purpose.
I have a question concerning that, because I know that even just this past week, we had an issue that was so, I know that, for instance, you're talking about body positivity. We had Carol G just recently, the cover of GQ, where they literally altered her look for that. I mean, what are your thoughts when you see something like that? Because it goes to the heart of what you're saying. You know, she's very happy. She's very, you know, forthright about her body positivity, what she looks like, how she feels, what her body's like. And then you have, you know, whatever photographer or magazine decides to sit there and say, well, we don't find that accepting. We want to make her look different because this is what the standard is in that side. You know, what are your thoughts on just even that situation when it comes to like the message that you just mentioned concerning the body positivity and what you went through?
For me, the first impact with any situation like that, there is other examples that we can use as like plus size models being size 40, 38. Yeah. It's not plus size number. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So everything, all of this trend of being so skinny, like I even saw something, I think one or two days ago, an article talking about the Kardashians specifically, because apparently they are getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and skinnier now, all of them in general, like the whole family. And there is this tendency that is as well starting to being flagged as the heroin chic, which is something that we've been back in the 90s and the 2000s. That's the tendency of extremely skinny, lean bodies that we had before with Kate Moss.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So it's for me, as someone that's trying to help with exactly the opposite of it. It gives me desperation. I just get really, it makes me feel so uncomfortable because we're in 2023 now. And I think that what it means is nothing less than acceptance in self-love is something that is being not preached anymore. It's just natural at the moment. People are just accepting who they are in every single shape, form, size, color, do you know what I mean? Background. I mean, everything is just so beautifully out there at the moment. So it's so weird for me to see someone like Karol G, which is such an, she is like a queen. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you know how did this happen? Like, I just,
so she was mad as hell too. I mean, she was, she was mad enough to post. Oh, she was mad.
I just, we were going to put off like something.
We just let her post, do all the talking.
I don't understand that, but yeah, it happens a lot and it happens on, it happens everywhere. Even on TikTok and stuff, you can see that there is, you know, the little girls, the 13-year-old girls, all of that wanting to have this body, you know, like I go to gym, I take care of myself. I think that taking care of your health is nothing to do with, oh, I accept myself or not. It's not about that. I think that you need to do whatever you feel is better for your body and for your mental health and your health in general. So I go to the gym and I see 12-year-old boys and 12, 13-year-old girls getting heavy on the machines and lifting weights. Yeah. And like, so it's not only about being so skinny, but it's any type of body shaming, any type of body, like of beauty pressure that you put on. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's wrong.
Right. Now with, like you said, body shaming, going to the gym healthy, what other tips do you have, a piece of advice that you can give, you know, our artists out there trying to make it?
I had a little glitch on the question. Sorry, I understood a little bit. Could you repeat,
please? Oh, absolutely. Like, what other piece of advice would you give another artist that's trying to make it in the business, or that any other artist has given you that was like key and has stuck with you throughout this time?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is, if you don't believe in yourself completely blindly, don't even start. Because honestly, like the only thing you're going to have in front of you for a long time is no, rejection. No, not good. No, you're not good. It's rejection. And it's really competitive. And right. You're going to start having so much going on and so many information and so many people trying to change what you are and the true of your art. And you're going to just start getting lost. So if you're not true about yourself, I have this thing that my family actually say to each other. I come from an Italian and Spanish family. So we're very strong, like with the temper. So it's like,
yeah. That's a tough mix right
Italians,
there.
Italians, I tell you. They're strong, I tell you. Oof.
It is terrible. No, I love it. But one thing that we say inside of my family is like, don't even put your boots if you're not going to the field to actually work hard. So do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Don't wake up in the morning thinking that's going to be easy. Like, believe in yourself and know that it's going to be as hard as it is for you to get a graduation and being a doctor, or you know, everything has an effort. Everything, you need to put effort and believe. Yeah. And you know, and build up. So for the artistic career, I think it's just tenfold patience, tenfold resilience, tenfold self-love, and believe. You just need to be very, very believe, like have a very strong belief in yourself.
So hearing you say all this stuff, honestly, I'm just like, obviously one of your strengths is your self-love. Your whole song that, you know, we just showed, the first thing that caught my eyes was, you know, the text and how you overcame that. And you have been strong. What other strengths do you have that you believe make you a great musician?
Oh, I think she laid the hammer on that one.
I'm sorry. Like, I want to know, like, you're confident, but what else?
Yeah, super confident.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think that's very much what I want to give to people, is the positivity and the strength to believe in yourselves and love yourselves in the middle of like this super plastic and shallow society and life we're having at the moment. I think that not losing ourselves is so difficult. So if I can help a little bit, that's kind of like what I want to do for life. But yeah, just replying to your question, I think that the most, what I like the most about my own art is because I'm very genuine when I put, when I write my songs, I'm very genuine to what I'm feeling and what I want to give, what I want to input in a song. I don't go into like, oh, now I need to do a la la la, and now I need to put a C major because that's very commercial, and now I need to put up boom pa pa boom boom pa because that's hyping. Like, no, I first have to go through the stuff in my life, then I take notes, then it all turns into something I want to put out to connect with people, and then I start putting all of these feelings. I think I overshare on songs emotionally, and yeah, all of this. So I think that would be the best asset about my art. It's like I'm very open just to put all of my emotions through it and overshare.
Thank you. So yeah, I think that people can always sense genuine. So yeah, thank you.
Definitely. So other than singing and music, outside of that, what are your other interests and hobbies? I know you said working out. What else? What else does Bill Savi like to do for fun?
Anything surprising.
I'm actually an actress as well. I'm a professional actress.
Really?
I degreed in acting for film and as well in musical theater. And I just love acting. I love acting.
Oh, I can see you doing musical theater.
Yeah,
definitely can see you doing musical theater.
It's one of it's the first, like, I think the base, like the very everything that I am on stage comes from the musical theater and from a metal band that was the first actual like musical experience I had in my life. I was a grind metal vocalist in a band.
Grind metal. Okay, explain what that is.
Like Pantera, do you know Pantera?
Oh my goodness! Okay, yeah.
So I used to do screamo, it's like stuff like that.
Screamo. Oh, wow. Do you have? First of all, do we have footage of this anywhere? Because I would love to share it.
Oh, yes, you have to share that.
You are definitely sending it to me. You are definitely.
Look, I'll tell you something. It's quite traumatic. You're not ready. You're gonna be a little bit traumatized.
You're not ready.
I'm in LA. There's nothing I haven't seen. Okay. So, and you know what the thing is, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about performances and stuff. And obviously from a musician side, when you mentioned the acting side, one of the things I've always admired performers in general, like the stage presence is like the key to everything. So when you're either acting or whether you're doing like musical choreography and things like that, I'm curious because you do both. So what is your prep work for, like, right before you get on stage? Are you sitting there like doing meditation? Are you floating on a bed or something? Like, what is it that you do to prepare for those type of performances?
First, I freak out completely.
I think everybody does that.
Yeah, my brain needs to go everywhere, so I just allow it to go everywhere. So I just have a moment to freak out and start overthinking about everything. So, because I think that the music theater actually gives you that, because you need to be careful. You need to change the clothes without talking, without making any noises, because you have the microphone here or here attached to you. So, and you're not on stage, but your microphone is on. So you have to be aware of you, of your colleagues, of your environment, of what's happening, of your body, of everything. And I think that that's exactly what I input before going on stage and performing, because I have dancers and I have to lead them, but as well remember that I am Bell Savvy and I need to take care of myself as well, like as the one that's going to be the, like, let's say the front woman on stage. But I'm as well a human being that is shaking with loads of emotions because I love what I do. So I'm gonna be like, oh my god, look, 30,000 people in front of me. Oh my god, I don't know. Do you know, like my friends, my family, and all, like, so it gets so chaotic. However, I can find peace in chaos in this circumstance. So in all of this chaos, I need 5-10 minutes just to breathe and allow it to happen. So then I start organizing everything mentally, because of course that I have rehearsals and everything is kind of, so I'm my muscle memory, my brain is trained. He knows what is going to happen. I just need to tell to my emotions, like, hold on, you can have your little moment, but come on, let's just
bring,
like,
it back down.
Pipe down. Let's do this. So that's basically what I do. I freak out, then I find peace in the middle of the chaos, and I have 5 minutes to just get into my mood of, like, bell savvy, and I'm on stage and just embrace that.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird. Like, there's obviously different types of acting. So when we're talking about, like, you know, Broadway actors who are doing musical theater, when we talk about, you know, actors who are doing short films or long films, the biggest difference between, like, people who are on stage is that there's no room for error. It's not like they can say cut, go, and, you know, what's my line, any of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you literally are performing, and once the lights come on, it's from beginning to end, you know. And that's been, like, I appreciate those performers so much more, just because they don't have the ability to make the mistake and redo it. Whatever they did for that moment and through the entire, whether it's the concert or the performance on stage for musical theater or just regular, you know, theater, is what you're going to get. And if that performance was flawless, that is just amazing to me. I just think that for me, that is just like the creme de la creme, so to speak, because it's like, how did you do that for 2 hours? Like, everything was just perfectly fine for like 2 hours. So really cool. What are some of the biggest struggles that you've experienced during the shows?
I think I have a very good one to give you as an example. I was recently on London Latin Music Convention. I was the headliner show, and it was so chaotic. So basically what happened is I was with my dancers, and the stage was pretty good. It was quite a big stage. And I was with my management and my assistant and my friend and everything, and my dances was beautiful, beautiful, amazing. Everything was amazing. However, when I get out with my dancers, the whole stage is packed, completely packed with instruments from the previous.
They didn't remove it off.
No, they forgot completely that.
How do you
last act? I don't know, but
she was a performer. Like, performance with dancers, they just assumed she was going to come on as a singer and, you know, grab instruments and do whatever. I don't know,
but that was actually the moment I was the most scared of, because my concert has an intro and there is a whole performance only of the dancers first, and the whole, like, I am obsessed with Gaga and Britney Spears, so of course I put the stay on stage, you know, the whole, like,
oh, you're yeah.
Yeah, I'm so a little monster.
Do you get really upset if it doesn't go right? Like, are you on stage? Are you just like massive diva if things are going wrong? Yeah.
You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. So then my dancers started getting super desperate, because at this point our choreography is two dancers in here doing this, then aligning, and I'm going to be in the middle of them, and they're going to reveal me. But we can't do this because there is no time enough.
There's no room.
Yeah. So then I just say to them, just go and do exactly the same. Forget about revealing me. Forget that I exist. This is like me with the microphone, song blasting, the whole intro happening. They're looking at me with the eyes like this. Then I say to my assistant, which was one of my best friends, just run in the stage and take everything away, whatever you can. She's like with the camera live streaming for my fans and running around trying to get stuff
away.
That
is hilarious.
My management is like in the back of the venue, just like following up what's going on. It was chaotic. However, I just stepped in and pretended nothing happened in there. And like while I was performing, she was taking the rest of the things away because I was taking the attention and letting her kind of like do her job. So it's like, it's insane. I think that this one was the most, like, I was so scared.
I feel like you kind of have to have confidence even in situations like that, which kind of leads me to a last question I have is, you talk about self-empowerment a lot. And something I caught you saying is it's beautiful now that it's being more accepted, you see. And I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. But I feel like it's still there's still that population of kiddos. I think as younger adults, we are getting, but I feel like the younger generations, teenagers, are still really facing that. So if you could say one thing about self-empowerment, like just one thing to the people that are struggling with self-empowerment, what would that be? Like if you could just, like if Belle Savvy is speaking on self-empowerment, what's the one thing you would say?
I think that first of all, you need to remember you're human. Because people think that we are machines. And sometimes we think that we are machines. You know, it's like, oh, right. No, I'm a self-empowered diva. So I will never look at myself in the mirror again and hate myself. Yeah. So I will, no, I'm sorry. There is days that I come back home and I'm bloated, for example. And I'm like, I don't like that. And then I feel a little bit ashamed. And then I'm like, do you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that I'm body shaming myself or I'm hating myself. I'm not accepting. It's just like, we have feelings, and of course that we have a whole society imposing left, right, up and down that you have to be in a certain way, in a certain shape, in a certain size. You're literally like fighting against all of this with your like super strong headed mindset saying, no, I don't care about this. I don't care about the shredded bodies on Instagram because I know that it's just the camera position, is the angle, is the Photoshop, is the type of clothes that they are using, etc. But sometimes you forget about it. Yeah. And you get overwhelmed with the info because it's too much going on nowadays. So I think that the most important is being so kind and patient with yourself, remembering you are a human being. There is days you're going to not like what you already convinced yourself you do like, because we have feelings and it's fine to change opinion about things, you know, and it's a process. So I think that's what I would say. Right.
I definitely have those days where like, I look like today, like I'll like text my friends. I'm like, hi, you can't talk to me. I'm on top of the world today. And then they're smoking. And then I'm like, sorry, I'm a diva today. Can't talk. But there's other days where I'm like, I'm not turning on my camera. Not happening. So yeah. I can totally relate. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh my God. No. Thank you for listening. And actually that was a very nice question, because it would be nice if I could have more space to kind of try to give it to people, because I have a very strong mindset, because I've been 10 years training it inside of me through so many things. The body shaming that I had was horrible, and that actually shaped me to be able today to share with you this in a little bit of this like strength, super strong way. But yeah,
it's not strength, it's strength. There's
strength. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very, very awesome. I do have one question. We had one question. Paula, who's not on the show today, and it's because she wasn't feeling well. She did ask, because she's in the crowd, because she's always in the crowd. When she's not the here, she's supporter. Cheering us on. She's the number one supporter. You know, so co-host, who's literally the number one. But she asked, because I know we mentioned that you also do acting. She said, Will we be seeing you in anything soon? Oh, and that's kind of a cool feature that I just did there. You could actually
see it. Yeah, I saw that.
Cool.
I didn't realize that. I was sitting here and I was like, it's saying show. I'm going to try to figure out what that is. So that's very cool. There you go. We learned something.
I loved it. I loved it. I feel a little bit like I'm in the, do you know when you watch CNN and BBC, do you know, like, and there is like I love it.
Believe it or not, when I first started this show, it was just audio. And now yes. We're doing video. And I'm like you. I like to be the ringmaster of my show. And every single week, I find a new tool or a new method or a new. And all my co-host knows, we go through this entire doc that we go through in order to like make sure the show flows. They're looking at it right now, even though nobody notices that. That's how they're looking at it. So for me, like even finding new features like that, I'm like, well, now I know.
Now I know.
Every week, by the time we finish this, it's gonna be like the greatest showman. People are gonna come on here and. That's live so performances cool. In studio. That's what we got to do. We got to get you to do a live performance one day.
Heck yeah.
Please.
So, I will say this. Yeah, she said yes, please. She already has submitted to it, so yes, now
please,
I know.
Yes, please.
No, I will say this
close,
because
I'm actually close to come to LA very soon. So
oh,
there you go.
Ya sabemos. That's it. I will say this though, because I know you mentioned about the self-empowerment. What we do here at Todo Wafi and even on the Latin Babble Show is we definitely offer a space for people to be able to express a lot of those feelings and and be open to those conversations. It's very important for us. Any single time that you wish that you want to talk about that topic or even write about that topic, by all means, we will give you an open mic and, you know, make that a very special for people to be able to come in and be able to hear that message, because we think it's extremely important, especially body positivity. It's one of those big ones. I deal with it a lot, especially being a big dude myself. So I have to buy like 7 scrub dubs to make one for just me.
Oh my God, stop it.
I feel like I'd laugh or be like.
Yeah, right? It's all cringy. No, 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 no.
All
in fun. All in fun. I'm not joking. No, but I think it's a very powerful message. And I think for the people who are listening to the show, I think it's something that we do need to hear more about, especially in this day and age. Because 2003, you're seeing 2023, you see what's already happening on the cover of GQs and things like that. And you would think that we would be growing and being smarter about that. But for whatever reason, there's people who are still stuck in that dimension and time zone. So just kind of a crazy thing to be dealing with at this day and age. Yeah. But I am so like happy that you were able to, you know, kind of push forward on it and be able to kind of like, I guess you can say, resonate that to the people that you're meeting and the people that you're talking to.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think that I'm going to reply to your the other presenter that is not here today.
Yes. Paula.
Yeah, Paula. It's Paula. Yeah, so I'm going to reply to what Paula asked, and I'm going to use it as a hook just to kind of talk about this just for a last time. Is yes, so you guys can expect to see me finally with a new release of my new song. This is the first time I'm actually announcing it because it's not announced yet. So my new song, Out of My Head, is going to be out now on the 28th of April. And is a very, very special chapter that starts now, because I didn't release a song, like a solo song, since 2020. Mm-hmm. 2021. So like I've been doing a lot of collabs and etc. But I've been through so many things recently, and I was just brewing all of that. And then this songs that I'm going to release now, starting by Out of My Head, they are very unapologetically self-confidence, like self-empowerment, resilient stuff. So if you guys like that, I think you guys are going to like that. And Out of My Head is pretty much about that. It's what you just said. Out of My Head talks about, it's a little bit of a satire. It's a little bit of a, I don't know how to say that in English. It's like when you take the piss out of something a little bit, like in a nice way of like, because I have such a strong mind and I love myself so much, I don't put myself in trouble situations with all of this crazy, shallow plastic things that, you know, like that is happening. So Out of My Head is talking a little bit about that. It's like, it's me kind of reporting a little bit and sharing about a couple downfalls I saw myself in front of my eyes, of people just getting lost with their egos, you know, and everything else. So like Out of My Head is a very strong minded self-confident song. So I think you guys are going to like it.
Is there going to be a video coming out with it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We got to get the video.
Diva, it's all of it.
I promise okay. I'm going to send a video for you guys like in firsthand.
Yeah, we get the exclusive.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure everybody will get it at the same time. But we definitely want to share it. So by all means, please send it to us. Belsavi, this was amazing. I love the interview. I love the message it was amazing to get to know you. If people wanted to follow you or listen to your music, where would they go?
Just Belsavi on Instagram. All my handles are Belsavi. So you can find me mainly on Instagram because I know I have to start on my TikTok. I know, guys, I know. But at the moment, I've been like focused.
I'm not on TikTok.
We're the same. I look at it, I have it, and I just have no inspiration to post on there. I like Instagram.
I can never get out of.
I love Instagram.
Yeah, I know. That's my thing. Like, I love Instagram so much that I don't want to put in the effort that it takes to like start a new platform and kind of go that route.
I know. Let's pretend that I'm not saying that because I kind of need to do it.
Yeah, but everybody's like, nah, she's gonna go on TikTok no matter what.
It's just a generation. Yeah.
I mean, you're in that. Your brand has to get you to do it anyways. Like, as a musician, I feel like it's an automatic. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that your content translates though.
Yeah.
So like you can put the content on your concerts and your messages and it'll flow well between the two accounts. Whereas like me, I use tweets and all kinds of stuff and that's like useless on TikTok. So it's just kind of
TikTok makes me very confused. Very confused. I'm not going to lie. I have a good fun with it when I find things that I enjoy creating, but I just get a little bit lost. And then I say, okay, maybe I'm too old for this. Like, I don't know.
She's going to use the old word. I was like, she's going to go with the old word, but you're not. Like, I'm old. Okay. So if we're going to do that, that's a different story, but I'm not going to sit there at 47, you know, doing all these dance moves on TikTok, but see, you already do those on stage, so you can just take.
I knew you would say that, but I have to tell you, it's so much easier for me to do this on stage for 10,000 people than to do for one camera pointed at me. I feel completely like lost. It's like it's much easier because I think that on stage you have the energy, you have the intention, you have the connection with people. People are there looking into your eyes. Yeah. And I love people. I love what is alive and real. So then I deliver it. When it's in front of a camera, it's like, I love acting, which is another thing. But then we're talking about performance.
Yeah, it's just like, weird when you got to,
It's just like. It's like, I got a little
it's
bit.
It's so true.
There's your TikTok.
There's your TikTok. Yeah. It's the first one. We just recorded it. We'll give it back. So very cool.
Probably going to do one for Out of My Head, isn't it? Doing like a.
You're gonna have to do like what Shakira did, where she and people are doing like this trend thing, and then there you go, and then we'll all duplicate it here at Throw the Waffy, and on the Lamb Baba Show, the co-host will all just do the same dance.
All right,
and start a viral trend. You do one, I will promise you, I will get these co-hosts to do the same exact as kind of like a mix or whatever they call it, the duel or whatever.
The remix. Deal.
We'll share it on the Something Latina team. We'll share it there and we'll just make it go viral. There you go.
Yes,
there you go.
Please.
We're already set. Please. Okay, everybody. That is our show. You can follow us on all social media platforms at Throw the Waffy. Make sure to visit the website. The Latin Babble Show page is now officially up and it's available on all of your favorite listening apps. So Apple, Spotify, it doesn't matter. We're there. Don't forget to visit our website, www.totowaffy.com. Soon to say the show again. I'm Rafael. That is Miss Rocky. That is Dunia. That is Bell Savvy. And we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica. Con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos. Llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos. Ella se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador. Vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche Brasil y Argentina. Estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira no existen fronteras, yo levantaré mi bandera.